Good morning. Today's Daf and Kedushin is Daf Nun. We are in the very bottom of Mem Testament Base. We're starting today with the Mishnah, and we're going to be dealing with Tanayim. The first part of the second parak of Kedushin dealt with Shlichus, and now we're moving into the topic of Tanayim. So various addendums that are made in terms of the act of Kedushin. So first we discussed in the second parak using an agent. In other words, you not doing the kedushin itself, but rather you appointing a shliach in order to do the kedushin. And now here in the second half of the second parak of the Masechta, so you're doing it yourself, but you're doing it with a tanai. So you're doing it with a condition and a stipulation. And if you're going to be doing kedushin with a stipulation, so what happens now if while you stipulate, so the condition is not fulfilled? What happens to the kedushin? So we all know, but the Mishnah here is going to really spell it out. Meaning this is a Mishnah dedicated to the topic of conditions. We start with the Mishnah. So the first two cases of the Mishnah, really straightforward, and that is that you give false promotion of yourself. So you purport yourself to be a Kohen, and meanwhile you're a Levi. You purport yourself to be a Levi, and meanwhile you're a Kohen. So in either one of those cases, the condition is not going to be good. We already pointed out in yesterday's daf, but let's quickly reiterate. In other words, if you're purporting yourself to be a Levi, meanwhile you're a Kohen, so in other words, so that's an upgrade. And so why shouldn't that work? So the Gemara said yesterday, because whenever we're talking about Yichus, we're talking about lineage, so you have to accurately depict where you're at. In other words, if you undersell yourself, that's also bad. Now, in other words, overselling yourself is obviously bad, but underselling yourself is also bad. The Gemara's expression yesterday was such a great expression. So the Gemara says is that people don't like wearing shoes that are too big. Okay, it's a mashal, it's a great mashal. And that is to say that when you're marrying somebody, you want to marry somebody who's on your level. You end up marrying somebody who's above you, so the marriage is not going to work out. In other words, they're going to always look down on you. And so therefore, if they undersell themselves, and meanwhile they were on a higher level, so that's also no good. So that's important to keep in mind as we go through the Mishnah. We continue. So these are just more examples of a false self-promotion. You're a mamzer and you purport yourself to be a nesin or vice versa. Go back to yesterday's daf. I explained in detail what a nesin is. We all know what a mamzer is. Anyway, so ben ir v'nimsa ben krach, or ben krach v'nimsa ben ir. In terms of whether you're a city boy or whether you're a country boy. Okay, I know I'm using modern terminology, but that's the basic idea. In other words, where are you coming from, and what kind of city are you still living in? So again, full self promotion, and you are attaching the kedushin to that condition. So once you attach the kedushin to that condition, and the condition is not fulfilled, the kedushin is no good. Well, the Mishnah hasn't said that yet, but that's the whole point of this entire Mishnah. How close do I live to the bathhouse? So again, you give a false promotion of how close you live to the bathhouse. And again, it doesn't matter whether you're close and you report yourself to be far away, or you're far away and you report yourself to be close. In either direction, so the kedushin is not valid if you're attaching the kedushin to this condition. I have an older daughter. I have a shivcha. We discussed this in yesterday's daf, right? At the easiest way to explain this part of the Mishnah is that basically it's financially advantageous. In other words, you're marrying a woman. She's going to be serving you, but you're telling her, in other words, it won't be that taxing. It won't be that strenuous. I already have somebody who's serving me. So your workload when being married to me is going to be a reduced workload. Okay, that's presumably it's financial, but the Gemara discussed this point in more detail in yesterday's daf. Amanashi ain't li banim yeshlo. Or amanashi yeshlo ve'ainlo. Or just a simple false promotion. I have children, you don't. I don't have children, and meanwhile you do. Uve kulam. So uve kulan afa pisha amra bilibi ayali iskadesh li afa pi kain. Now, in every one of these cases, where the woman says afterwards, right, in the post-kedushin interview, she says afterwards, you know, I would have been happy. I would have been just as fine. In other words, I know he false promoted himself, but I'm just as fine with it. There's still, nevertheless, the kedushin is not a good kedushin. And oh, by the way, says the Mishnah, everything that we just said would be true if she made a kiddushin contingent on something that was not true. In other words, she reported something about herself and she tied the kiddushin to that fact, and that fact is simply not true. The kiddushin is not going to be valid. In the Mishnah gave many, many cases where there was false promotion about you, about the kind of person you are, about the children that you have. So many different examples in the Mishnah where, and you are attaching the kiddushin to that fact, to that condition. So if the condition is no good, the condition is no good. Right. So the right. That happens to be of the examples. I agree with you. That's a funny example. And the point of the Mishnah is really straightforward, and that is Tanayim, meaning it's what we already knew. But in other words, the Mishnah over here is really articulating and really expressing this idea that when you make a condition, so that condition obviously is binding. And if you are not satisfying the condition that you set forth in this kiddushin, the kiddushin just simply no good. It's not a valid kiddushin. We knew that already. I'll highlight, but I won't go through it. Tosfos over here, really fundamental Tosfos on Mem Testament Beis, right? Tosfos on our Mishnah, right? The Tosfos is on the Gemara, which we're about to do, and that is that these conditions that were made in our Mishnah, did you make them using a Tanai Kafel? Did you follow the rules that we learned? Well, actually, we're going to learn together later in the Masechta regarding, you have to say the positive, you have to say the negative, you have to put the Tanai in front of the Maisa. Okay, if you know what I'm referring to, great. And if not, we're going to see it together later in the Masechta. In other words, to properly formulate a Tanai, you have to do what's called the Tanai Kafel of double language. Over here in our Mishnah, we're not hearing Tanai Kafel. So is there a reason why we're not hearing Tanai Kafel in our Mishnah? See Tosfos over here, who discusses that very point. We're going to continue, but that's really a fundamental discussion in Tosfos, when a Tanai Kafel is needed and when it's not needed. Okay, how Gavra? So immediately we're going to be jumping in the Gemara to what seems to be a different point, but it's not a different point. It is totally related and connected to our Mishnah, and you'll see. How Gavra does Avon L'Nichse Adait L'Mesek L'Aretz Yisrael? So a person had a lifelong dream that he's going to make Aliyah. And now, enough dreaming, so let's go. So he sells his property over here in Chutz Laaretz, and with the understanding that I'm selling my property because I'm making Aliyah. And Uvidna Dezavan Lamar Velomidi. However, at the time of the sale, he didn't say anything. In other words, he didn't attach the sale to the condition that I'm only selling because I'm making Aliyah. And then Amarava Avidvarim Shabalev and Dvar Shabalev and Advarim. Now the matter was presented in front of Rava. Now, what matter? So let me fill in one more important detail before we get to Rava. And that was Rachmanis, his dream didn't come true. Okay? It happens, the reality of life. And that is, you dream, and sometimes it doesn't work out. And so over here, it didn't work out. In other words, he sold his property. He thought he was going to make Aliyah. And we don't have the details, but in other words, I know enough stories, right? Sometimes it ends in success, and sometimes it doesn't, right? Life happens. So over here, it didn't end in success. It ended in him now having to come back. Now, when he came back, and so what he wanted to do is he wanted to get his house back. In other words, he stated, no, this is important, and I was about to make the mistake. He didn't state that he was selling the house only on the condition that he was making Aliyah. So he attached no rider, no stipulation to the sale of the house. And now when he comes back, so what he wants to argue is that, you know, I didn't say it, but I had it in mind. I was thinking that the only reason why I'm selling the house is because I'm making Aliyah. And meanwhile, it didn't work out. And meanwhile, here I am back. Back same place where I started from. You know what? Give me my house back. Well, give me my house back. Obviously, in other words, I'll buy it from you. But in other words, let's send everything back. Right? I'll get back my house. You get back your money. Right? Is that going to work? So I'm a Rava. So now we could say it. So I'm a Rava. Have a dvarim shebelev and dvarim shebelev and a dvarim. So Rava says, look, you didn't articulate. You didn't state this. This was not a condition that was verbalized. You were thinking it. Who cares? Just because you were thinking it is not halachically significant. So how does Rava know this? How do I know that a thought by itself is nothing? So here we go now. As we are on the top of Nun Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to seek and numerous tries in terms of this idea, Dvarim Shebalev Einam Dvarim. By the way, this is a concept that we're going to be hearing time and again throughout Shas. Today's Daf Kiddushin, Daf Nun, is really where we're going to be hammering this point. That just because you had a thought, but if you didn't verbalize and you didn't articulate, so then Einam Dvarim is nothing. So how do I know that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that. Attempt number one. Yakriv oso melamed shekofen oso bal karcho tamalam aleritso no. When you bring a carbon, you have to bring it willingly. Now, when you are on the hook to bring a carbon, so what we're going to do is we're going to force you to bring the carbon. Well, which one is it? Are we going to force you to bring it, or are you going to bring it willingly? And the answer is both. Hakeitzad kofen oso hajama rotsani. How do you get somebody to bring something willingly? How do you force them to bring it willingly? You beat it out of him. And I know this is funny, but this is an idea that's expressed also numerous times throughout the Gemara. And that is that you need to do this. You need to bring a carbon. Okay, but I don't want to. No, you do want to. And you keep beating him until he says, yes, I want to. Okay, now, V'yamai ha'beli b'lo nichalei alala mishum dvarim shebalei b'inim dvarim. So, when we finally beat out of him that he wants to bring it, so I don't understand. In other words, he's saying he wants to bring it, but he doesn't really want to bring it. In other words, in his heart of hearts, he's like, I really don't, but I really want the beatings to stop. So I'm just going to say that I want to bring it, and hopefully the beatings are going to stop. So this is a proof that Dvarim should believe in a Dvarim. So the Gemara says, nah, v'dilma shani asam dan sa'adi d'nichle b'kapara. So the Gemara says, no, the truth of the matter is that really he wants to. In other words, the bringing of a carbon is going to achieve a kapara. And so over here, by him bringing it and eventually him saying that he wants to bring it, he really wants to. He really wants to do the right thing. In other words, we all have the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara is an impediment. But if we could just get past the Yetzer Hara, and sometimes I'm not recommending that you and I do this. In other words, it's don't try this at home type of Gemara. But in other words, you got to beat it out of him. Okay. And but really the truth of the matter is in his heart of hearts, he wants to do the right thing. So, good. So, Ella. So, we don't have a proof over there that Dvarim Shebaleve Einam Dvarim, because over there, he really wants to do the right thing. So, the Gemara says, fine. Ella, let me say, so, Kofen Osa Achiyama Rotsani. So, the Gemara says that this is not just true, but the carbon is true in other arenas of halacha. Let's use the example of a get. A man has to give his wife a get. For whatever reason, it was decided by Beis Din, he has to give her a get. And he's resisting. Now, unfortunately, this happens all the time, and it's a problem. So, back in the good old days, so how did they solve for that problem? It's very simple. They beat the husband. So, they beat the husband until he said, yeah, I want to give it. So, over there, ve'amai, ha-beli b'lo nichalei. So, the Gemara says, you know, in other words, we beat him to the point where he says, yes, I'd like to give the get, but he doesn't really want to give the get. Again, over there, he just wants the beatings to stop. So elalav mishum damin and dvarim shebelev and dvarim. So over there, it's because dvarim shebelev. In other words, even though in his heart he's thinking to himself, I don't really want to give the get, but I also don't like being beaten. So over there, we're going to ignore that which he's thinking. And again, the Gemara pushes back. Well, no. Over there, he wants to do the right thing. If the Beis Din, if the Chachamim are telling him, you have to give your wife a get, they deemed it that's the correct move. And now they're telling you what to do. So now, really, in your heart of hearts, what do you want to do? You want to listen. Ah, but you have your Yetzer Hara, and you're going to be resistant, and we're all going to be resistant because none of us like to be told what to do. It's human nature, basic human nature, right? This is what you have to do. No, I don't want to do it. That's the way we're all hardwired. And so, therefore, the truth is that really he wants to do the right thing. The other truth is that we have a Yetzer Hara. So in other words, so how do I basically beat out of him that he wants to do the right thing? So we beat him. But really in his heart of hearts, he wants to do the right thing. So we have yet to have a proof that Dvarim Shebalev in Dvarim. Elam Rav Yosef Mehacha. So here we are now with our third attempt, and that is the following. If let's say a man marries a woman and he got his facts wrong, he thought she was a Levia, she was a Kohanis, v'chule v'chule. And in other words, he just got his facts wrong, but she didn't tell him anything. In other words, how was he misinformed? In other words, I don't know. He did his research and you know he did it poorly, but she didn't say anything that would have led him astray. So in all those cases, the kedushin is a good kedushin. So now this seems to be a wonderful proof. Meaning, why can't he just simply say afterwards, wait 1 second, I was Mekadosher thinking she was a Kohenis, meanwhile she's a Leviya. Right? Why can't he make that argument? It's because it's Dvarim Shebelev, it's because he didn't articulate, he didn't verbalize. It was just a thought, we ignore thoughts. So Abai says, okay, that is a proof, but that's not as far as what we want, where we want to go. That's just telling us that we're going to be cautious, and we're going to be machmir. And you're right. In other words, Dvarim Shebelev is not going to be enough of an issue so in against the Chumra. Over here, meaning what's the Chumra? The Chumra is that they very well may be married. And now you want to use Dvarim Shebelev to undo the marriage? Well, that we're not going to do. We're not going to go that far. But we want to ascertain that Dvarim Shebelev, we're going to go in both directions. We're going to be Machmer and we're going to be Mako. How do I know that we're ignoring Dvarim Shebelev in both scenarios? Elamer Abaye, so here's now attempt number 4. Mehacha, Bikulam. Afa Bisham Rabbi Hayali Skadishlo, Afa Pikain, Enamakudesh, Vamai Kam Rabbi Bihaya. Now we're going to go to our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, what happened? What happened was is that he represented himself falsely. Okay, all go back to all the cases of the Mishnah. I'm not going to review all the cases of our Mishnah. But in any one of those cases, when he gives false representation of who he is or where he lives or any of the personal information. So, and he's Mekadosher based on that, a condition tied to that misrepresentation. So what do we learn in our Mishnah? The condition is no good. And not only that, but even with a follow-up question where we go over to her and, or even we don't have to go over to her, she can just simply forward the information. And we go over to her and we say, you know, that was false information. And she says, you know what? I didn't care. Meaning, even if it wouldn't have been true, I still would have accepted the kedushin. We still say under those circumstances, the kedushin is no good. So over there, in other words, we have Dvarim Shebelev. In other words, she's telling you, this is what I was thinking at the time. And what do? Einam Dvarim. We pay no regard to what she thought. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. Why? Because he made an explicit condition. He verbally stipulated. So he made a verbal stipulation. I can't take a thought that she has and undo a verbal stipulation that he actually made. So the Gemara says that's not a good proof. So the Gemara says that there were actual episodes and incidents in the yeshiva of Chista. And in the yeshiva Rav Huna, and upashtu ameha. And in other words, there was a question of Dvarim Shebelev, and both of them arrived at the conclusion from the following. Ha Omer, so this is now going to be round number 5, right? A number of attempts to show that Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim, and that's the following. Ha Melashuch Aveli, Mina Chalon, O Minha Deluska Ma, Vehevi Lo. So I tell a messenger, hey, do me a favor, go there and get me money, okay? And because I want to use that money for a certain thing, so get me that money. And so I send the shlech to go get my money. I tell him, I direct him where to get the money. So afa bisham rabbi alabais lo ayali bilibi ala alzeh, kevin shehevi lo, balabais ma'al, sorry, kevin shehevi lo, mizeh, so balabais ma'al. So over here now what happens was is that the shlech goes and takes the money. Turns out the money belonged to Hekdesh. And the shlech then went ahead and misappropriated that money based on the instructions of the mishaleach. So under those circumstances, Baal HaBayis Ma'al, the Baal HaBayis now, is in violation of Me'ila. Now the Shlech did the Avera and the Baal HaBayis is going to be Ma'al. So hopefully you remember, taking us back to the beginning of the second parak, where we said that it's true in Shlech L'Dvar Avera, with notable exceptions, two notable exceptions. One of the notable exceptions is Me'ila. So by Me'ila, we do say that there's a Shlech L'Dvar Avera. Okay? There's a couple of notable exceptions. There may be a total of 3 notable exceptions, but not for now. All right, go back to the beginning of the second parak, Mem Beis and Mem Gibel. Okay, definitely Mem Beis. Anyway, so the go back over there for the notable exceptions. Me'ila is one of the notable exceptions. So over here, I sent the shlech to take money, right? And it turns out that the money belonged to Hekdesh. The shlech did exactly what I asked him to do, and so now I'm all behekdesh. So far, so good. How do we get from here to that Mishnah to the idea of Dvarim Shebalev and Dvarim? Gemara connects the dots. Via my high kamar bilibi. The Gemara says, now, even though, right, in other words, go back to the Mishnah, read the Mishnah. Afa pisha amar bala bais lahiya li bilibi ela alzeh. So I had in my heart not to get from that one, but from a different one. In other words, even though his verbal instructions were very clear, but meanwhile, what happened was is that in his head, he had a different purse, a different pocketbook in mind. It doesn't matter. In other words, whatever he had in his head can't go against his verbal declaration. Ah, beautiful. And the case isn't beautiful, but the proof is beautiful. In other words, despite the fact of, oh, that wasn't what I was actually thinking, doesn't matter. In other words, whatever you were thinking can't combat your verbal declaration. You gave very clear verbal instructions. As far as halacha is concerned, halacha only regards your verbal instructions. So, Allah, Bishum, Darmin, Dvarim, Shebalev, Venon, Dvarim. Okay, beautiful. So we have what seems to be an unbelievable proof that whatever was going on in your head at the time, whatever you were thinking, even though at a later point in time you declared your thoughts, it doesn't matter. Your thoughts cannot override your verbal articulation. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Over there, I'll tell you why we're going to disregard his thoughts. Maybe over there, that is a specific and unique scenario that we're disregarding his thoughts because maybe over there, all he's trying to do is get out of bringing a carbon. Remember, now that he's mal behekdesh, so now what? The ramifications of me'ilah. Full restitution of that which you misappropriated. Another 25% on top of that. And on top of that, also you have to bring a carbon, right? And usham mi'ila. So all those ramifications, and maybe over here, in that case, and specific to that case, maybe over there we're disregarding his thoughts because the only reason why he's trying to explain away, I know I said that, but that's not what I meant, is because he's trying to get out of a carbon. And maybe over there, we understand that he's trying to rationalize, and that's why we're ignoring his thoughts. So the Gemara says, trying to get out of carbon? I got an idea. If all you're trying to do is just get out of a carbon, rather than make up a story of, here's what I thought, why don't you just simply say, oh, you know what, I wasn't a show gig, I was amazed. Now, I know that's funny, but in other words, but when you say that you're amazed by Me'ila, there is no carbon. Carbon is only by show gig and not by amazed. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, a person's not going to make himself a Rasha. In other words, by making a declaration that instead of a shogig, it was rather amazed, you're making yourself a Rasha. No one wants to do that. So the Gemara says, Havale lomar nizkarti. So the Gemara says, well, if all you're trying to do is get out of a carbon, there's a way to do it without making yourself into a Rasha. How do you do that? It's technical, but it works. And that is that after you sent the shliach, and the shliach now is no longer within your reach, then if in fact you remembered, wait one second, that money that I just sent him to go pick up, that's hektesh money. So if you remembered prior to the shliach arriving there, so then you no longer are the mo'al behektesh, but rather the shliach is now the mo'al behektesh. It's a technical point, but it's true. So over here, if you want to get out of a carbon, all you need to say is, after I sent the shlich, but before he arrived to the money, I remembered. You could say that, and that'll get you out of the carbon. So over here, it's not just a rationalization to get him out of the carbon, because there's a way for him to get out of the carbon. So if he goes ahead and expresses his thoughts, and we're ignoring his thoughts, you know why we're ignoring his thoughts? Because dvarim shebalev einam dvarim. Okay, we got here. It took us a minute to get here.
More than a minute.
20 of those. It took us a minute to get here, but now that we're here, we finally have a proof that Dvarim Shebalev in Dvarim. Let's go back now and let's revisit. These people are selling the properties because they want to make Aliyah. So Salik Velo It Darlay. So what happened was is that he made Aliyah. However, with no success. Okay? Again, the Gemara doesn't need to fill in the details because we know. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Here it doesn't work. So now, I'm a Rav called the Salak Adai to Lamei Derhu, Vahalo Iterlein. So, Rav says, built into the bread. It's baked into the bread. Meaning that when you're selling your property to go to Israel, it's understood that there's a condition that's built into the sale, and Rava therefore is of the position that if you went ahead and you made an attempt to success, you made a, I was about to say successful. I'm going to edit myself right now. If you had made an attempt to successfully go to Israel, and then it just didn't work out, so then it's understood that that's part of the condition of the sale. And when you go back and you say, look, it failed, you're entitled to now retract on the sale. Obviously, you have to give him back his money, and you're going to get back your house. But in other words, the sale is voided. I know there's so many details over here that the Gemara has left out of this picture, meaning how long were you there for? And is there come a point in time where no longer you can call it a failure? Okay, anyway, there's just so many details that is to be discovered. But anyway,
who went and the Baal Bas changed his mind, so the Shliach is now chai, but does he have any recourse against the Baal Bas?
It's a fair question, but no. In the circumstance where the shliach is on the hook, he's on the hook. Okay. It's just.
So there's a lot of credit for a shliach. Yeah,
that's a very accurate point. Igadarmi now in a somewhat different version of how Rava said it. I died to the lemesek v'hasalikle. So in other words, the condition was that I'm going to go up to Israel, and he went up to Israel. Whether the aliyah was successful or not, that wasn't the condition. The condition was is that he was going to go up, and he in fact went up. So fine. So in other words, so these two versions of Rava obviously are competing with one another in terms of what exactly is the condition when you sell your house to make aliyah. In other words, is the aliyah the part that needs to be successful? Is the condition tied to his successfully successful klita? In Israel. Alternatively, no. In other words, maybe the condition is just simply an attempt to go up to Israel. Okay, so a person sold his property to go up to Israel. He didn't even go. So what he wants to do, of course, is that he wants to go ahead and void the sale. In other words, I sold it to you on the condition that I was going to go, and I didn't go. So I'm Rav Ashi Ibai Salik. So Rav Ashi says, well, in other words, look, if he wanted to, he can go, meaning nothing stopped him from going. And so over here, it's not, you can't void the sale. In other words, the condition was I'm going to make an attempt to go, and you didn't even attempt. So you haven't satisfied the condition. So the Ikadarma Ibai Elo Salik. Now, in another version of what exactly Rav Ashi's reaction was to this question, so in the second version, he says something awfully similar. He says, Ibai Elo Salik, if he wants, he couldn't go, which is just a sarcastic way of saying, you know, you didn't even try, right? In other words, you sold it on the condition that you're going to go at least make an attempt to make Aliyah, and you didn't even try, like you couldn't even try? Okay. So over here in these two versions of Rav Ashi, what we're hearing is that when you sold the property, at least to attempt to make aliyah, and you didn't even attempt, that you didn't satisfy the condition. So, and you can't recant on the sale. But over here in version number one, version number two, just a subtle difference in terms of how Rav Ashi said it. Now, might be now you can benad yisal unsa ba'orcha. So the Gemara says, well, the difference, the subtle difference between version one, version two, is let's say there was an impediment in going, meaning going wasn't smooth, and there was some ones baderech. Now, according to version number one, so there is a way for him to go. Okay, granted, the road would be bumpy. I mean that here, certainly figuratively, maybe even literally, but in other words, there. Even though there were some impediments on the way in version number one, you still have to try. Meaning in order for the condition to be satisfied, you have to make a real attempt to go up. You made no attempt to go up, even though it was a bit hazardous, you have not satisfied the condition. In version number two, where he asked almost sarcastically, you couldn't even try? So over there, if there are impediments along the way, if there's some onus along the way, so then it's explainable why he didn't try. And therefore, your explanation of I didn't go because of the onus on the way would in fact be a fair excuse in terms of why you didn't even try. Right. No.
Is it you want to say I'm going to live in New Jersey? Right. When I come back,
It's fair. Meaning over here, it's not just right. It's not just a condition, but a condition in doing a mitzvah as well. Right. Excellent. Okay. I don't know. Okay. We're Nun Amud Aleph. We are now continuing with the next Mishnah. Okay. My instructions to the shliach are really clear. By the way, you keep seeing, right, in this parak, we're weaving in and out between shlichus, ktanayim. Over here, by the way, we're combining the two. Shlich and tanai, right? I'm setting up an agent to go be mekadosh, and with a specific condition to the shlich. Hey, you're only going to be mekadosh in this location. Okay, those are my clear instructions. And what he does is he doesn't follow my instructions, clearly. So he's in his Mekadosh or in a different location. The Kedushin does not take effect. Why? Because I made very clear conditions. Okay? For whatever reason. Well, we'll get to the reasons in just a moment, but for whatever reason. I made clear conditions of how the Kedushin is going to work. So, he's got to follow my instructions. Now, if I said to my Shliach, Harehi b'makom ploni, you're going to want to know where to go. So I'm telling you where to go. So, right, go there, because that's where she is. So over there, that's not my instructions. I'm not stipulating you must be Mekadosh her. I'm just telling him where to go, right? I'm serving as his Google Maps. So over there, if he's Mekadosh her in a different location, it works. Because over there, I'm not stipulating you must be Mekadosh her over there. I'm just simply informing him where he needs to go. Now, Tanan Amigitin. Now, if all this sounds familiar, I hope it does, because we did exactly this Mishnah, but back in Gittin on the topic of Gittin. And the Gemara quotes it. It's a Mishnah in Gittin on Daf Samech Hey. Ha'omer tenu gez elishi b'makom ploni b'nasal b'makom acher pasul. Ha'rei b'makom ploni b'nasal b'makom acher kasher. Exactly the same Mishnah, but instead of talking about Kedushin, talks about Gittin. And basically what the Gemara is asking is, why do I need both Mishnayos? Tzricha, I need both. So I'll tell you, if I only had the Mishnah Kedushin, I'll tell you why I'm so specific. Because look, my reputation is mixed reviews. I know over there, right? In location A, they love me. In location B, they hate me. Whatever the background is, and so when I want to be mekadosher, so I'm telling my agent, you know where you're going to take her? Take her and be mekadosher only in location A. They love me over there. They're only going to say good things about me. You take her. You take her and attempt to be mekadosher in location B. It ain't going to work. They're going to say bad things about me. So I understand that by Kedushin, I can be very specific and demand Kedushin to be occurring in a certain location for the reason we just articulated. But by Gerushin, in other words, I'm worried about my reputation. I'm divorcing the woman. So over here now, it's gonna matter to me where I divorce her. It's not going to matter. That's what I would have thought had I only had the Mishnah by Kedushin. So the Iyash, meaning Gabi Gerushin, and now we can also argue in the counter. And that is, if I only had the Mishnah by Gerushin, by Asra Nichale de Nizbe, by Asra Lo Nichale, de Nibze, right, important. So, in other words, look, certain places I do care about my reputation, other places I do not. Okay. And so, therefore, I could be that by Gerushin, I'm very specific about where I want the Gerushin to occur, because there are certain places where I don't want my reputation tarnished. But by Kedushin, what difference does it make? So tzricha. So basically, I could make arguments in either direction. That's why I need a Mishnah, both by Kedushin and by Gerushin, that if I am specific about where the Kedushin or Gerushin takes place, so the Shliach has to do exactly as per my instructions. We're up to the next Mishnah in today's Daf. Now, I'm a Kedusha woman, but I stipulate, and I say it so clearly, you cannot be a woman who constantly makes Nedarim. And meanwhile, she constantly makes Nedarim. So over there, that was my stipulation. So the kedushin is not valid. Now, if I do not stipulate, but meanwhile she makes nedarim all the time, so what I could do is that I could divorce her, and these are grounds for divorce. Meaning that we know the Gemara in Ksuvas, the Gemara in Gittin, goes over more the Gemara in Ksuvas go over right the we don't subscribe to no fault divorce. In other words, halacha subscribes to assigning fault. What difference does it make? Obviously, financially, whether or not she is or she's not entitled to ksuva. So over here, if she's the kind of woman who makes nedarim all the time, so that is something that is very difficult to live with, and therefore he can divorce her without having to pay ksuva. She forfeits her ksuva. If he stipulates that she does not have physical blemishes, and meanwhile she does, the kedushin does not take effect. That's a mekach tos. So if, however, he doesn't stipulate and he marries her, and there were blemishes that were not disclosed, so even though the kedushin is valid because he didn't stipulate, at the same time, however, she should have disclosed it, and therefore the divorce is required, but no ksuva payment. So now, what is a physical blemish that would be grounds for divorce? So what you have to do is you have to learn Bechoros. I know that's funny, but you're going to go through. You're going to go through the seventh perek of Bechoros, sure. And over there, you're going to learn about all various different types of blemishes that would render a kohen disqualified to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. And so, therefore, whatever is a physical blemish over there would qualify over here as a physical blemish, which is grounds for a divorce. So, Tanan Gabi Ksuvos Ki Agavna. So, once again, we have what is a repeated Mishnah. What we just learned here in Kedushin on today's Daf Nun is also a Mishnah in Ksuvos. So, Hacha Kedushin Yitzrich Levitana Ksuvos Atu Kedushin. Hasim Ksuvos Yitzrich Levitana Kedushin Asu Ksuvos. So, over there, the Gemara says, look, in other words, there are two separate points in our Mishnah. There's a Kedushin point where I preconditioned, and if the condition is not satisfied, the Kedushin doesn't even take off the ground. That's a Kedushin point, and that obviously is why this Mishnah here is a Masechta Kedushin. There's also a Kesuvas point, which is if I didn't precondition, and the Kedushin does take effect, but only later discovered that she makes Nadarim, or she has a mum, so then that is grounds for divorce with a forfeiture of a ksuva. That is the ksuva's point, and that's why the same Mishnah finds its way in Masech to ksuvos. Okay. I do an unsuccessful kedushin. Okay, so the Mishnah over here gives two examples of an unsuccessful kedushin. Right, go over to two women, hand the two women a single pruta, and say, I want to be mekadesh you with the single pruta. Okay, that doesn't work. In order for kedushin to be good, we learned this on day one of the Masechta, it has to be one pruta per woman. Good. Obviously, you're giving one pruta to two women, so each one of them is only receiving a half pruta. That's no good. Alternatively, as one woman, but I give her less than a pruta. Okay, so the kedushin obviously is no good. And then afterwards, what do? I send her gifts, right? Showing my love and admiration for her. Okay, so under those circumstances, the kedushin is not a good kedushin. Machmas kedushin, rishon and shalach. The v'chein katan shekidesh, and the same thing was true regarding a katan who's mekadesh. And after the kedushin, now the kedushin kedusha katan is nothing, as we've gone over time and again throughout this masechta. But then afterwards, subsequently, he sends sivlonas to her, and let's even say that he sent the sivlonas as an adult after he becomes bar mitzvah. It's nothing. Now, utzricha, the Mishnah is telling us many different ways, three different ways, that on a faulty kedushin, on a failed kedushin, let's say it even clearer, on a failed kedushin, if subsequently he sends sivlonos are halachically not significant. Sivlonos are just simply gifts. So the how do I know that? Sorry, not how do I know that? Why would the Mishnah give me three different scenarios to basically make the same point? If I only had the first case, not the second case. In the first case, look, people may not know, and therefore assume that the Kiddushin was good when handing one pruta to two women. But in the second case of the Mishnah, where I'm handing less than a Shava pruta, like, who doesn't know that? It's such basic information. It's the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. So who doesn't know that? So let's assume now that you knew that the Kiddushin was a field Kiddushin, and your subsequent Sivlonos are there to go ahead and make up and serve as Kiddushin. That's what I would have thought. And if I only had the first two cases of the Mishnah, and then if I had the first two cases, but not the third case, in the third case, a katan attempting to be Mekadesh. Who doesn't know? Again, we're going to make the same point. Who doesn't know that a Kiddushi katan is nothing? Isn't it like the most basic information? And therefore, can't I argue then that the subsequent Sivlonos are serving as Kiddushin? So, Kamash Malan. Again, the Mishnah, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Idmar Ravuna Amar Choshin L'Sivlonos V'chein Amar Ravachoshin L'Sivlonos. Okay. I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. I always do. But I'm just highlighting that over here because Tosfos is not like the Rashi shot of our Gemara. Nevertheless, just for the purposes of streamlining and time, so therefore, I'm only presenting the Gemara like Rashi. And that is, Rashi says what's happening over here is the following. Negotiations took place between the two families. Right? Parents of the Chasan, parents of the Kala, get together. The Kiddushin has not yet occurred yet. But they sat down and they met and our kids should get married. Great idea. They even talked about money. Okay, so Shiduchim. Right? Meaning, not like we use the word Shiduchim. That's just simply in terms of dating. Back in the good old days, the word shiduchim was used in terms of negotiation. In other words, the families are the ones arranging the marriages, and so already they're at the point of negotiation. And now, after that, gifts were sent. So, they're gifts. Can they be interpreted, maybe, as kiddushin? So, that's the Gemara's question, at least according to Rashi. So Rav Huna Amar Choshin L'Sivlonos V'Chein Amar Rava Choshishin L'Sivlonos. So Rav and Rav Huna are both of the position that yes. In other words, we don't know for sure, meaning the gifts were gifts, but they could represent the Kesef Kedushin. Amar Rabba Mosvin and Ashmait and Afa Pisha Shalach Sivlonos L'Achim Mekanein Mekudeshes. And meanwhile, let's go back to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah, what happened? A failed Kedushin followed by gifts. And what do? We ignore the gifts. They have no halachic significance. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaya Hasam Kedektani Taima, Machmas Kedushan Rishonah Shalach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't affect our discussion whatsoever. Because in our Mishnah, what happened, you had a failed Kedushin. You didn't know it was a failure. So when you're sending the gifts, you're sending the gifts riding on the failed Kedushin. You are not sending the gifts in lieu of new Kiddushin. You think now that you and her are Mekudeshes, and therefore the gifts are just simply gifts. That's different than our discussion over here. Igadam Rama Rava Manami Nala Kidiktani Taima. Machmas Kiddushin Rishon and Shalach. Hachahu Detai Haba Ama Hava Kiddushin. Now, in the second version over here, what Rabbi now is doing is he's using our Mishnah to make exactly his point. Meaning our Mishnah says that after a failed Kiddushin, the gifts are insignificant. But in other words, but if the gifts didn't follow a failed Kiddushin, the gifts were just simply sent, and there was no failed Kiddushin, then the gifts would be significant. So, V'abay lami bay kamar lami bay ba'amad lo nachlis asar Kiddushin klal, elafil ha'achad the nachlis ataras Kiddushin, ema have a Kiddushin kamash malan. Now, Abai will counter, and Abai will tell you the following. Don't bring a proof from our Mishnah. So, meaning our Mishnah is telling us, look, even if the gifts are sent independent of anything, the gifts are insignificant. Even if the gifts are sent after Kiddushin, they're still insignificant. Okay, so in other words, our Mishnah may not shed any light on our discussion. Our discussion is, families negotiated, he's sending her gifts, can those gifts be interpreted as Kiddushin? Yes or no? The question is open-ended. Our Mishnah is leave our Mishnah out of the discussion. So my Avi Allah Amira Papa Basu de Mikashi Vahad de Mistavle Cheshinan. So Mistavle Vahad de Mikashi Lo Cheshinan. So Rav Papa will tell you, kind of depends on what the Minhagim are. of the location. Do you send gifts and then Mekadesh, or do you Mekadesh and then send gifts? Meaning that there always was gift giving done by the chasen to the kala. Was that before or after the kedushin? Right. In other words, look in our day and age. Meaning, what do we do nowadays? So nowadays, a gift is given from him to her before the kedushin. It's called the engagement ring, right? The engagement ring is a gift. And our minhag is that we do that before the kedushin. So we meaning our minhag nowadays is to give gifts and then kedushin. So Rav Papa says, okay, that's one minhag. And there's another minhag is that they would first do kedushin and then they would send sivlonos. So Rav Papa therefore says, just follow the minhag. So if the minhag is to be mekadesh and afterwards to send gifts, so now what I have to assume is that the gifts really are there as serving as kedushin. If, on the other hand, gifts are given and then afterwards in mekadesh, so gifts don't have to be interpreted as kedushin. Just follow the minhag. So mekadesh v'hadam mesavle pshita. So l'tzricha deruba mekadesh v'hadam mesavle umiyutu mesavle v'hadam mekadesh. And the Gemara says, look, I can even make this a little more nuanced. The majority of the people first are mekadesh and then afterwards give gifts. Some don't. Let's worry about the minority. So kamash malan. So the chiddush is that we're not going to worry about the minority. Let's do a little bit more for today. Let's get to the next Mishnah. You find a ksuva in the market. So a particular woman is being named in the ksuva as having been married. So in other words, but that's all the information we have. There's no ed kedushin. In other words, we just have a ksuva that we found. Okay, so you found a ksuva. That's great. In other words, there are no witnesses that say that she got married, and all you found was a ksuva. That's not enough evidence. So my havi alam. So the Gemara says, okay. So we got Rava's position on this matter, but the Gemara says, what's the psak halacha? So Amar Ravashi Basud the Mekashi v'had the Kasvik Suva Cheshinan. So Kasvik v'had the Mekashi lo Cheshinan. And again, Ravashi uses the same line of reasoning that we saw moments earlier. And that is, follow the minhag. If the minhag is that you write a ksuva, and then after you write the ksuva, then the kedushin occurs, so the ksuva is evidence for nothing. In other words, it could very well be that the ksuva was just simply pre-written, and then the kedushin never occurred. If, on the other hand, the minhag is that first you do kedushin, and then afterwards you write the ksuva. Oh, so if you find a ksuva, so that means that kedushin already occurred. So mekachiv ha'adu kasev pshita. And again, the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but that's not an obvious point. So lo tzrichad lo shrich safrei ma'u detema safrei hudis rami kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you where the chiddush lies. The chiddush lies in that we don't have a lot of sofrim around, meaning a good sofer is hard to find. And over here, it's a real commodity to find a good sofer. And so over here, maybe, look, we occasioned upon ourselves to find a sofer. Oh, let's take advantage of the situation. Quickly, let's write up the ksuva, even though we didn't do the kedushin yet. All that could have been we could have entertained that thought. The Gemara says, kamash malam, we don't entertain such a thought. Perfect. Okay, Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, obviously, we pick it up with Daf Nun Aleph.